Lehrabschlussprüfungen für Kauffrau, Kaufmann. Nach BIFO. 2016. Englisch. Hörverstehen. Serie 2. Each part of this listening comprehension will be played twice. Task A. Look at the notes below. Listen to the monologues. Fill in the missing information. You now have 20 seconds to look at the tasks. Now listen. 1. A message on an answer phone.
Hi Gina, this is Sally speaking. I booked you 2 seats on flight LX8130 to Hurghada, Egypt on Thursday, September 22nd. I'm afraid you'll have to be at the airport very early, as it will take off at 6:40 a.m. However, you have the possibility to check in the night before, so I would profit from this service. You should then be in time when taking the first train in the morning at 5:19. You will arrive at Hurghada at 12:05 local time after a flight of 4 hours and 25 minutes. The hotel will arrange for someone to pick you up in the arrival hall and take you to the hotel, which is about 30 minutes drive to the south.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Hi Gina, this is Sally speaking. I booked you 2 seats on flight LX8130 to Hurghada, Egypt on Thursday, September 22nd. I'm afraid you'll have to be at the airport very early, as it will take off at 6:40 a.m. However, you have the possibility to check in the night before, so I would profit from this service. You should then be in time when taking the first train in the morning at 5:19. You will arrive at Hurghada at 12:05 local time after a flight of 4 hours and 25 minutes. The hotel will arrange for someone to pick you up in the arrival hall and take you to the hotel, which is about 30 minutes drive to the south.
Now go on to part 2. 2. A radio program.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Meyer from Swiss Business Figures. The strong Swiss franc is still affecting foreign trade. 8 out of 10 export industries suffered a loss in turnover last month. The biggest drop was in the machine industry, where turnover dropped by 12%. But also Swiss watches were losing their appeal abroad. Exports of the clock and watch industry declined by 8%. Which is the worst result for 6 years. The business with jewellery first seemed to be increasing, but then its turnover also dropped slightly. A positive result was presented by the clothing and footwear industry, whose turnover rose, I'm happy to say, by about 1%. If you're interested in more detailed figures, you'll find them at www.chbusfig.com. That's www.chbusfig.com.
You are going to hear the text again in about 5 seconds.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tony Meyer from Swiss Business Figures. The strong Swiss franc is still affecting foreign trade. 8 out of 10 export industries suffered a loss in turnover last month. The biggest drop was in the machine industry, where turnover dropped by 12%. But also Swiss watches were losing their appeal abroad. Exports of the clock and watch industry declined by 8%, which is the worst result for 6 years. The business with jewellery first seemed to be increasing, but then its turnover also dropped slightly. A positive result was presented by the clothing and footwear industry, whose turnover rose, I'm happy to say, by about 1%. If you're interested in more detailed figures, you'll find them at www.chbusfig.com. That's www.chbusfig.com.
This is the end of Task A. Task B will begin in about 20 seconds. Task B. You will now listen to an interview with Lynn Downey, a historian, talking about Levi Strauss. For each question, mark the best answer. A, B, or C. Tick one answer only. You now have 30 seconds to look at the task. Ready?
Welcome to this week's edition of Did You Know? My name is Michael Terrell, and my guest today is Lynn Downey, the company historian of Levi Strauss. Lynn, why does a company that manufactures jeans employ a historian?
Way back in 1989, company chairman Robert Haas, a great-great-grandnephew of Levi Strauss, wanted to take care of the company's warehouse of historical items. He was looking for a suitable person to do this job, and my uncle, who used to work for the company, told me about that. I then applied for the job and got it, and I still love it.
What are your duties?
I'm in charge of the company's archives.
Are they open to the public?
No, they aren't. But at first we had a museum that people could visit. It was located at the old factory on Valencia Street in San Francisco. This then got replaced by 6 pavilions at our visitor center on Battery Street. Each pavilion highlights a different aspect of the company and its business. They offer a good view of San Francisco Gold Rush businesses and their survival after the famous San Francisco fire, which had been caused by an earthquake in 1906.
Which is your favorite pavilion?
Well, they're all interesting, but being a historian, I probably like the one best that shows the history of the company. Levi Strauss came to the United States from his native Germany in 1847. He joined his brothers, who were already in New York, where they had a wholesale dry goods business.
You mean they didn't produce jeans at that time?
No, none at all. 6 years later, in 1853, Levi Strauss moved to San Francisco to open his own branch of the family business, Levi Strauss and Company.
Still no jeans?
Still no jeans. It wasn't until 1872 when Levi Strauss was approached by a man named Jacob Davis. Davis was that tailor who had the idea for the sturdy, hard-to-destroy work pants. He was looking for a business partner, and Strauss took the opportunity.
So the jeans business wasn't even Strauss's own idea?
No, but he recognized the potential of Davis's idea. And soon, the business with those jeans, then known as waist overalls, was taking off, because the two had created a piece of clothing perfectly suited for miners, farmers, and cowboys.
Are there any items on display from that early era?
Unfortunately, the first 50 years of the company's history was almost completely lost in the San Francisco fire. However, some years ago, we were contacted by Seth Weiser, co-owner of a store called What Comes Around, Goes Around, a kind of second-hand and antique store. He had bought a pair of Levi's, which had been discovered in an old coal mine in Colorado. He then sent us some pictures and made us an offer of $25,000.
$25,000 for an old pair of jeans?
Well, they may be the most expensive pair of Levi's, but they're also one of the oldest pairs left. I was able to date them by their single back pocket and the leather patch, which was added in 1886. The second back pocket was only added in 1902.
That means they are one of the very few items left from before the fire.
Exactly. That's why they are a treasure, and Levi's agreed to pay this record price.
Lynn, thank you very much for this interesting interview.
You are going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Welcome to this week's edition of Did You Know? My name is Michael Terrell, and my guest today is Lynn Downey, the company historian of Levi Strauss. Lynn, why does a company that manufactures jeans employ a historian?
Way back in 1989, company chairman Robert Haas, a great-great-grandnephew of Levi Strauss, wanted to take care of the company's warehouse of historical items. He was looking for a suitable person to do this job, and my uncle, who used to work for the company, told me about that. I then applied for the job and got it, and I still love it.
What are your duties?
I'm in charge of the company's archives.
Are they open to the public?
No, they aren't. But at first we had a museum that people could visit. It was located at the old factory on Valencia Street in San Francisco. This then got replaced by six pavilions at our visitor center on Battery Street. Each pavilion highlights a different aspect of the company and its business. They offer a good view of San Francisco Gold Rush businesses and their survival after the famous San Francisco fire, which had been caused by an earthquake in 1906.
Which is your favorite pavilion?
Well, they're all interesting. But being a historian, I probably like the one best that shows the history of the company. Levi Strauss came to the United States from his native Germany in 1847. He joined his brothers, who were already in New York, where they had a wholesale dry goods business.
You mean they didn't produce jeans at that time?
No, none at all. 6 years later, in 1853, Levi Strauss moved to San Francisco to open his own branch of the family business, Levi Strauss & Company.
Still no jeans?
Still no jeans. It wasn't until 1872 when Levi Strauss was approached by a man named Jacob Davis. Davis was that tailor who had the idea for the sturdy, hard-to-destroy work pants. He was looking for a business partner, and Strauss took the opportunity.
So the jeans business wasn't even Strauss's own idea?
No, but he recognized the potential of Davis's idea. And soon, the business with those jeans, then known as waist overalls, was taking off, because the two had created a piece of clothing perfectly suited for miners, farmers, and cowboys.
Are there any items on display from that early era?
Unfortunately, the first 50 years of the company's history was almost completely lost in the San Francisco fire. However, some years ago, we were contacted by Seth Weiser, co-owner of a store called What Comes Around, Goes Around, a kind of second-hand and antique store. He had bought a pair of Levi's, which had been discovered in an old coal mine in Colorado. He then sent us some pictures and made us an offer of $25,000.
$25,000 for an old pair of jeans?
Well, they may be the most expensive pair of Levi's, but they're also one of the oldest pairs left. I was able to date them by their single back pocket and the leather patch, which was added in 1886. The second back pocket was only added in 1902.
That means they are one of the very few items left from before the fire.
Exactly. That's why they are a treasure, and Levi's agreed to pay this record price.
Lynn, thank you very much for this interesting interview.
This is the end of Task B. Task C will begin in about 20 seconds. Task C. Listen to Ray talking to Vanessa about working from home. Please fill in the gaps in the sentences below with the correct form of the keyword or keywords. Use one or two words. You now have 1 minute to read the sentences below. And here we go.
Okay, Vanessa, you've been working from home for quite a while. What made you choose this kind of work?
I've worked for the same company since I left school. But when the second child was born, I wanted to spend more time with the kids. What I especially like about this kind of work is that it gives you more flexibility. Sometimes I have to work in the evening, but then my husband can look after the kids, so it's usually no problem, and it doesn't happen too often anyway.
Is it difficult to get organised? After all, you can't just pop into your colleague's office and ask something or check some files and so on.
The internet and modern technology make working from home relatively easy, and if need be, you can always make a call to the office.
What about your employer? Didn't he mind when you said you would like to work from home?
Not really. Of course, it took a bit of time to get used to it. But then, this way, the company can save on office space. What matters to them is that I get my work done.
And don't you get lonely working on your own all the time?
I probably would, but there are times when I have to go into work anyway in order to meet clients. I can't receive them at home. And on those occasions, I usually also see my colleagues and catch up on the latest office news and gossip.
I see. Do you work on a fixed schedule or just according to demand?
With home working, it's absolutely necessary to have a strict timetable and stick to it. First, I get the kids ready for school, and then my working day starts at 9 o'clock. From 12 to 1:30, I have my lunch break, and after that, I work again until 4, and that's it.
Do you have any other tips for people who would like to work from home?
Well, probably the most obvious is that you have to find a quiet place where nobody will disturb you, wherever possible, a separate room. And you shouldn't answer the door to neighbours or make private calls during working hours.
So it's really important to separate working life from private life?
Yes, absolutely. And something you might think a bit funny, but I usually also dress for work. I spend a lot of time talking to clients on the phone, and I just feel more in the mood for business than when dressed in an old tracksuit.
Interesting. But then I guess we all agree that clothes have an effect on how we feel. So it seems only logical to dress for what you're doing. Vanessa, thanks for the chat and all the best for combining family and business life.
You're going to hear the text again in about 10 seconds.
Okay, Vanessa, you've been working from home for quite a while. What made you choose this kind of work?
I've worked for the same company since I left school. But when the second child was born, I wanted to spend more time with the kids. What I especially like about this kind of work is that it gives you more flexibility. Sometimes I have to work in the evening, but then my husband can look after the kids. So it's usually no problem, and it doesn't happen too often anyway.
Is it difficult to get organized? After all, you can't just pop into your colleague's office and ask something or check some files and so on.
The internet and modern technology make working from home relatively easy. And if need be, you can always make a call to the office.
What about your employer? Didn't he mind when you said you would like to work from home?
Not really. Of course, it took a bit of time to get used to it. But then, this way, the company can save on office space. What matters to them is that I get my work done.
And don't you get lonely working on your own all the time?
I probably would, but there are times when I have to go into work anyway in order to meet clients. I can't receive them at home. And on those occasions, I usually also see my colleagues and catch up on the latest office news and gossip.
I see. Do you work on a fixed schedule or just according to demand?
With home working, it's absolutely necessary to have a strict timetable and stick to it. First, I get the kids ready for school, and then my working day starts at 9 o'clock. From 12 to 1:30, I have my lunch break, and after that, I work again until 4, and that's it.
Do you have any other tips for people who would like to work from home?
Well, probably the most obvious is that you have to find a quiet place where nobody will disturb you, wherever possible, a separate room. And you shouldn't answer the door to neighbours or make private calls during working hours.
So it's really important to separate working life from private life?
Yes, absolutely. And something you might think a bit funny, but I usually also dress for work. I spend a lot of time talking to clients on the phone, and I just feel more in the mood for business than when dressed in an old tracksuit.
Interesting. But then I guess we all agree that clothes have an effect on how we feel. So it seems only logical to dress for what you're doing. Vanessa, thanks for the chat and all the best for combining family and business life.
This is the end of Task C. You now have time to complete your answers. This is the end of your English listening comprehension exam. Please stop writing and hand in your paper.